Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast. Coming right up, fresh tips and insights from lodging professionals aimed at helping you improve your business. Our podcast is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which helps improve your guest stay without adding more to your day. Learn how at frictionlessguest.com. Steve Short, my friend, how are you?
I am doing well, Matt. How about you?
I'm doing really well. We just recorded a pretty cool podcast with Patty Sung, who's the founder and CEO at TakeUp, and Chris McPherson, who's also a founder, and he's the CTO at TakeUp. And this one had an AI slant to it.
It was all AI, not just a slant. It was right in your face, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, it's our first foray into AI, and wow, this is great. I mean, they were really, I just thought all the topics were dead on in terms of what this stuff means and what their product does for lodging professionals, for property owners, managers, who it's all about the revenue management side, which is hugely important, right? I mean, without revenue or without improving revenue, you're not going to be in business, or you're not going to be as effective in business. And that's kind of what their core product is, but they kind of look beyond that as well. They get into that kind of at the tail end a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah. What I thought was really neat too is because AI is everywhere in the news these days, and they certainly put, I think Patty said, the human is at the center of all of it. So really, this is like an augmentation tool, like you said, to help maximize revenue.
Yeah. And they kind of demystify is the right word, but they explain things that anybody can understand that doesn't have to know anything about AI, because I honestly don't know much at all about AI. And it all made sense from the innkeeper perspective as to, you know, what they do, why they do it, and why it's better than having humans try to figure it out. And when you're an innkeeper, you know, revenue management and figuring out what your rates should be and all of this stuff is not really your core competency, you know, if you think about it. So yeah, it's important. Yeah. I think it's the way of the future for sure. And the good way, ultimately.
Yeah, I think so too. That was what was really comforting to it, because I think we all have some AI fears, and it seems like Patty and Chris are doing all the right things to really introduce AI into the independent lodging arena. And with that, we hope you enjoy this podcast with Patty and Chris from TakeUp. Again, they offer a dynamic pricing platform that leverages AI and machine learning to optimize your room rates to really maximize revenue. And we hope you enjoy. Patty and Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Excellent. Steve Short, how are you, my friend?
I am fine, Matt, as usual, and always happy to be with you. And Patty and Chris, thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, no, really excited to have you. And actually, no, this is probably the first time we've really done anything with regards to AI. So this is a pretty exciting podcast for us. So let's jump right in. So Patty and Chris, if you don't mind, tell us kind of your origin story. How did TakeUp come about?
Yeah, so I can start it and then Chris jump in if I miss anything. So the two of us have very different backgrounds. My background is more in business strategy, product development. I used to do consulting. We met at a venture studio. So venture studio essentially is another version of startup accelerator. So it's really helping different ventures, different startups get off the ground with a little bit more support. And so we met at the venture studio. We got paired up to find a really important question or problem to solve in different industries. And one of the industries that I was interested in was travel, hospitality. And so we immediately dive right in and starting to look for a problem to solve. And we stumble upon revenue management or how you price a room. And that's how everything started. It was pretty organic. We actually went from thinking that we want to solve operational challenges with housekeeping to all the way revenue management. So it has been an evolution of the idea to come up with TakeUp.
Cool. And Chris, what's your perspective on this? Is Patty telling the truth about how you met and how this came together?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess what I would add is the, you know, us finding each other. I've tried to do this a number of times before. Entrepreneurship, trying to solve problems out in the market, was met with failure, as you typically are when trying to do these things. But Patty and I, finding each other, our forces just combined so well, and we collaborate so amazingly. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, getting us to where we are today. So it's just been an amazing journey.
And do you, either of you all have hospitality background? Are you coming at this from a totally fresh, new perspective?
Yeah, so for me, I actually grew up in a hotel. My parents own a hotel, but I never got involved in operations. I just remember going in and out of the hotel every day, trying to wait for my mom to get off work. I know that she is always on call 24/7. I didn't appreciate how much she worked and how stressful her life was back then. But now I have an immense respect for what they do, all the innkeepers, all the hoteliers, what they do. It's really tough work. And so, yeah, I grew up in the environment, in the hotel environment. Didn't know that I would jump back in, but love it every single day since then.
Was it a large hotel out of curiosity, or is it a smaller one or independent?
It's relatively large. But I grew up in Asia, so I grew up in Taiwan. That's where the hotel was. I came to the States for college and I just stayed. And my parents are still back in Asia.
I'm going to guess that you picked up a lot more than you probably realize. Because like my dad was an attorney and you just through osmosis of talking about things when you're at the dinner table, although it sounds like they might not have always been at the dinner table because they were trying to run their hotel. But yeah, I'm sure you picked up a lot. Chris, how about you? Any background in lodging or hospitality?
No, not for me. Totally fresh perspective. However, I've been highly focused on trying to broaden that perspective with the perspective of those in the work. We did not want to be, although, you know, obviously I'm the tech guy behind the solution, what the product is. We did not want what we were building to be technology-led, right? Meaning we look at what the technology is capable of and use that as the force to solve problems. Rather, we are innkeeper hotelier led, right? So what are their challenges? What are their problems? Then how might the technology meet them? So my journey over the past few years has been almost entirely led by trying to hear as many perspectives as I can, getting into properties, spending time there so that I can catch up.
Probably my favorite classes in my MBA was product development. And there was this paradigm problem of the idea that you need the client base to define the problem or have this problem, but at the same time, sometimes you have to come in and see it from a totally different perspective for them to realize that they have this problem that you can add value to. So that's this paradigm of coming up with new products, basically, new services or whatever.
That is such a great point, Steve, because I was going to add the story of how we actually uncovered this problem. Interestingly, before we decided to create TakeUp, I think we were doing a lot of interviews because that was during COVID. We started the company during COVID, and so we couldn't meet in person. So a lot of the problem discovery was all through interviews. So we set up Zoom calls or phone calls, asking around, what are some of the challenges that you're facing? What are some of the pain points that you experience that we can help solve for you? When you ask people those questions, I would say I probably talked to at least 30, 40 hoteliers. Not a single person actually mentioned rate management or coming up with room rates is a problem. So everyone talk about how difficult it is to manage housekeeping, staff. Staffing issue is a huge challenge. So we immediately jump in to solving, wanting to solve operational challenges. And that's where we started. But then we know, we've always, you know, understood how a great product should be created is through understanding the problem really well, which means that if you can't experience the problem yourself, which is the best way to actually solve a problem, is if you can experience the pain point yourself. If it's not that, then the best proxy would be shadowing someone doing the job. And so that's exactly what we did. We found someone who's willing to allow us to walk around the hotel and just spend a week with the owner. And essentially, that's how we uncovered the problem. When he showed us, he was so excited about showing us how he came up with room rates. He thought it was much more advanced than anyone else in the industry. And then we saw it with Chris's background being in data science. That was our aha moment. We realized that this is the problem we wanted to solve. We got really excited, did more research, and that's when TakeUp was created.
So before we get into the heavy-duty AI part of what you all have come up with here and where you're going with it, what about, like you talk about the revenue management. I don't know too much hands-on with some of the PMS systems that are out there, but I know that most of them have some sort of way of changing rates based upon seasons or whatever. So what is different about this approach? Before we get into the AI part of it, what's different about, hey, you know, I've got this capability to go in and configure all this stuff a certain way. So why would I need logic through AI, software, whatever, to help me do that better?
Right. It's a great question. And I think I can give actually a fairly simple answer. So these rules-based systems, as I might categorize them, right? Whether that's yield management or, you know, there are different methods, or even following the leader. Like if you're just looking at a competitor, that's still a rule, right? So these rules-based systems is a broad term I'll use here. They aren't relying on rules that are validated, right? They may be hypotheses. There may be some experience behind them, but we have not observed a single system in this sort of rules-based world or approach that is validating what has worked, why, and when. So to do this, you have to look backwards, right? You almost have to backtest. You have to say, hey, we used this rate during this season, and then we tried this rate during that same season. What was the difference? What happened? I have not seen a single one that does this. So it's still relying on these, at times, very arbitrary rules. You know, the rates that you choose might sound good. They might have some experience. They might be directionally in the right, you know, in the right place, but there's so much optimization just being left on the table of, hey, actually, during this time, it's best to do this because we learned through experience. To do that, it takes a lot of effort to sort of go through all of that past experience and objectively measure what worked and what didn't. I'll throw out an anecdote to make this a little more tangible. So one rule we typically see is if, let's say, next Friday, we're looking at the occupancy and it's at maybe 35%. They look at prior year and the pace for that day was 50% for the same time. And it's, okay, we're a little concerned here. What do? We drop rate, right? There's a big rule. We see it all over the place. Let's drop rate to invigorate demand, right? Hopefully catching back up. Through all of our analysis and the artificial intelligence, which we'll get into, we have found that fewer than 10% of the time is that a good idea, right? But we don't have to write a rule around that. The system is able to figure out when it makes sense to do that, because ultimately when it would make sense is if by going down $50, right, you're recouping enough reservations to make up that $50 plus some, right, that you've just suddenly lost on all those reservations. In most cases, that does not happen. It's a losing money proposition. But it's a rule we see everywhere. And so that's just one example. We see it with following competitors. We see it with, you know, these yield management rules. They sound good, but are they really actually the best thing to do? Our system answers that question.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, I guess I was wondering, is there any individualization? I guess there can't really be, right? Where you're somehow able to say, oh, well, I have some information on this prospective guest, and maybe I know that they've stayed here before, so therefore I can charge them. They probably are willing to pay more because they've seen the experience, and that's great. Or are there any, or is this all strictly looking backward at and non-personalizing, I guess, the pricing?
Right. We've actually taken the position not to pursue pricing by guest or, you know, web booking engine visitors. Instead, we set a price like anybody else would, which would be propagated through all the different channels. And then we would change that price through time. So anybody visiting at this time would see the same price. And that's an approach we've taken very intentionally. It doesn't sit right, I guess, with us to try to discriminate based on user, you know, trying to guess what price might work best for them. we'd rather have one uniform price. But your question around custom and learning at a more, maybe at the property level, I could maybe go up one step. Our system is phenomenal at this. I mean, you brought history up, right? Because, and I guess one comment I'll say there is, we all know that history is, while useful and we can learn from it, it's not a great indicator of what is to come. And that's actually where AI really starts to shine. We use a particular type of artificial intelligence. I don't need to get into the weeds here, but artificial intelligence is a big, big umbrella for many different techniques. We use one that's called reinforcement learning, but all we really need to know about this is that it is an active learning system. And so what I mean by this is that it's learning through experience, similar how you and I might learn through experience. The example I like to share often is, if you enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning and you decide you want to try to optimize that cup, you want it to match your tastes better, what you're going to do is probably start changing some things, right? You might grind the beans a little bit more, make that cup of coffee. Is it closer to what you wanted or further, right? And so you start to do these little adjustments, maybe the water temperature, et cetera, till you get the cup of coffee that you like. So that's active learning. You're experimenting, you're exploring, you're getting observations of what that change did to that cup of coffee, and then you're moving forward. That's exactly how our system works at a high level. So we are learning from experience to kind of point us in the right direction, but then we're actively learning as we push rates. We're seeing the effect those have on conversion rates and ultimately, you know, the bookings at the property, and we're slowly adjusting them as we learn what rates are going to generate us more revenue. And it just keeps rolling. It never stops learning in this way.
So what are the variables in that? And maybe before I get too far in the weeds, even though we're kind of there and it sounds like that's where we need to be, but is there a general approach that, you know, you've started with that you are running with? Do you see this evolving and your approach changing, as opposed to just saying, I just need more data? We can go back a year, we can get that data. Now, as we go the second year, now we have 2 years worth of data, we're going to keep getting better, but the approach is going to be the same. Or is the AI actively learning about how to better do AI or how to better come up with those solutions?
Right. Yeah. I'd say yes to both of those questions. So our system is learning at an individual property level. So it's always learning about how to price individual properties. We're not, you know, it's not one rule system that it learns and we're applying it to all of our properties. It's unique and it's learning at a property level. And how it improves is through that active learning. But from a product perspective, what we're looking at, additional data is almost always helpful, but there's one source of data that really kind of trumps them all. And that is booking engine search data. So at TakeUp, we call this the denominator in all caps, because traditionally revenue management has really only had access to, for looking at typical process and tooling available, it's really only looking at the numerator in a conversion rate, right? Which is bookings. How many bookings did we get? But to really understand what's happening, you have to have the denominator, which is, of these bookings that we actually got, what was the potential? What demand came to the front door? So how many people searched for this next Friday? And of those people that searched, how many converted? That's a much better view of performance and a much better indicator of how well a rate is working or isn't working. So if we start to adjust rate and we see the conversion rate slipping, that is much more a potent indicator than, you know, hey, demand, you know, reservations went down a little bit. There's a lot of reasons reservations could go down a little bit. Maybe there's a, you know, certain macroeconomic shift, or your competitor changed their rate. So it's hard to know, was it the rate change that I made or was it something else? With this conversion rate, we can get much closer to it. So that's really the next frontier for us. We're already capturing this data with a lot of our integration partners. We're continuing on this path to gather this data for really to be the foundation of our product going forward.
I know earlier we were talking about the evolution and with startup, there's always a lot of trial and error, right? So we didn't start here. We didn't start by knowing exactly which type of AI we wanted to use. We started with actually probably more straightforward. Let's predict a demand. If we can predict the demand, then we actually can price along the demand curve, then we actually can always optimize it. And then the more we try, we realize that's almost impossible to do, especially for hospital hotels, to predict how many people are actually going to come into this area and how many will stay at this region. I mean, those are just too many variables to really try to predict. And so we actually moved away from that approach and eventually landed on where we are, which is using reinforcement learning. And what we learned is this approach is actually very, very effective, and especially effective for smaller or unique properties.
And so that one constant denominator is the potential. So you don't necessarily know what the demand might be or whatever. You're having to go back and look at what was the potential demand and what did I actually book with, get in terms of bookings, heads and beds or whatever. But that's the one thing you can measure. And that's coming, all of that's coming from the booking engines. Is that right? So they know how many. So I guess it's based upon how many people came to book, or maybe can you go back a step further and figure out, I guess, well, it depends. It really doesn't matter whether they're coming through the site or where they're coming from. That's the only thing that's concrete that you have to work with. Is that right?
Right, exactly. So what matters most to us is how many people actually saw a rate for a future booking, you know, bookable day. How many people actually saw that? That's the denominator. And then, you know, of course, the numerator is reservation. So of that group, how many people actually ended up converting? And another way to look at it is we're kind of running a bunch of tiny little experiments all the time at a massive scale across all the potential booking days, right? Because we might say, you know, based on past history, we think this demand, this rate's going to work really well. And then we try it and we get those observations, like you pointed out, we're getting that data, we're able to see what happened. And if we're doing this at scale, we can compare that to many other experiments at that same time. So we might say, hey, this demand is starting to get more price sensitive because we're able to go across all of these different people searching and look at their conversion rates. And then we can adjust in real time to that, right? We can meet the people where they are. Maybe they're getting more price sensitive. Maybe the demand is still high, but maybe for whatever reason, they're just more sensitive, right? We can respond to that and find, dial it in. What's the best rate that's going to maximize revenue? Because at the end of the day, that's all we do is maximize revenue. We're not trying to maximize rate or maximize occupancy. It's the combination of the two. We're trying to maximize revenue.
That makes sense. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you lose sight of what the value, what the goal is, then right, you get bogged down in other stuff, but that's the bottom line. So yeah, go ahead, Patty.
The way we think about it is marketing really drives demand to your door. What we are doing is maximizing that demand at the door. You know, there are this many people looking at your hotel. How do we provide the best rate that will maximize revenue for the property, for the owners? And that's essentially how we think about it.
Interesting. Okay. So, wow, there's a lot of little things I'm kind of curious about, but I'll try to avoid that and stay with what's probably the most important thing for who's listening, for our independent lodging professionals that are listening to our podcast. So let's talk about that from the perspective of the property owner manager. So I hear the value statement here, the value proposition. And I say, yeah, you know, if I can work with them, if I can work with TakeUp and I know that my revenues should increase, I just have to give it some time. How does that work? I mean, that seems like a no-brainer to me. Like, okay, let's go to Patty and Chris and say, hey, we want more revenue and you guys can figure it out through AI. What's this going to take me in order to do this in terms of, you know, what do I have to give you? What is the ramp up time? What are the costs ultimately? How does that work?
Yeah, I can jump in really quick here. So yeah. So we built this to be as seamless as possible. Through our experiences, we've learned about how poor some of the onboarding and integration experiences these innkeepers and hotel owners have had over the past couple decades with different technologies. And we didn't want to add to that. So we developed sort of an excellence in integration first and foremost. So we work directly with the property management system. It's a two-way integration, essentially just meaning we're automatically going to get the data we need. We're automatically going to be able to push the rates back out. So there isn't any work on the parts of the owner operator we're working with. And really the biggest thing that we really want to get when we're onboarding is an understanding of their expectations, right? Because the system, right, has its own objective of maximizing revenue, but it's more complicated than that, right? And we want to honor that, right? There are other goals at the property. There are wide arrays of different risk profiles and tolerances. And so we try to understand that as best as possible. And then we can tune this system to meet that. So that, you know, on week one, they're not seeing rates that are wild, even though our system is saying, hey, this is validated. This is going to make you more money. We take the approach of we have to earn the right to make them more money, right? And earning that right essentially just means we're building trust with them, right? They trust that our system is doing what it says it's doing, and they can see that through their experience. And one of the ways they can see that is we actually measure the lift that our product is producing. And in fact, we developed this capability pretty early on because we didn't want to try to solve this problem if we couldn't prove to ourselves that we were actually making a difference on this problem. So we developed this ability to assess the impact our product was having. And you know, nowadays, we just turn that around and we're transparent with what the system is doing. Typically, what we see is in month one, so right out of the gate, we typically see a 2 to 3x on our price. So even though the system is just getting started, we're seeing ROI. And as it goes on, as you alluded to, months 3 and 4, we're seeing anywhere between a 5x to 20x our take-up rate.
Meaning the ROI based upon what they're paying you. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Some of these other goals. So what are some of the things that, as a property owner, I would say, well, I want to make more revenue, but you know, I don't want to gouge. What are those other, you know, I guess it could change, but there's got to be some sort of variables in the mix that you can kind of put into your solution to be able to keep the AI robot from freaking out, you know, the owner,
yep.
Right? So what are some of those things that you hear from property owners to say, yeah, sure, I want to maximize revenue, but you know, I don't want to charge 3 times my normal rate on holiday weekends because I'm afraid my clientele that comes back all the time is going to be ticked off and I don't want to tick them off. Is that one example? I don't know.
Yeah, I can talk about this. So one of the things that we built into the whole experience is we have a team of revenue managers and customer experience folks that really handhold our customers to really understand what do you want to achieve. It's not just about maximizing your revenue. It's about, you know, bringing the best experience to your guests, and that matches with the price that we're offering. So there is a human in the loop that we are trying to understand from every single property owner. What would you like to achieve and how would the rate match up with the experience? So that's number one. So we are not going to allow the AI just go wild, to your point, and charge whatever they want. There is definitely human in the loop to oversee some of the rates. And the second thing I would say is a lot of customers are worried about there are some repeat customers. I don't want to scare them away. But the reality is everything is going up. All the prices are going up. Everything is getting more expensive. And so what you could do for your repeat customer is our suggestion is you can give them a discount coupon code or special code that they could use every time they come back. You do get a special rate compared to all the other new customers. Your repeat customers can be treated differently. There are other ways to also increase their experience or improve their experience other than just giving them a discount code and personalize the experience a little bit. That's another way to do it. So there are other ways to really complement with the increase of rate through AI. This is typically what we suggest to our customers.
Obviously, you've got to have APIs into the major PMSs that are being used. And by the way, you do focus really, you're not focused on the big brands. You're focused more on the independent lodging people, right?
Right. So we actually started with the brands. But what we realized is that the smaller independent boutiques actually need more help. And this is where we made it our mission to support small business owners. It just feels much more impactful and rewarding to us that we're also a small business. We want to support other small business owners. We understand how difficult it is to be a small business owner. And that's where we decided to spend our energy and our effort is to focus on this segment. Independent small business owners, they tend to be, it's harder to sell into for sure. And that's why a lot of the solution providers decided to go after the big brands. It's much easier. You can make more money, but it doesn't feel impactful to us. We wanted to help individuals, and it's very rewarding to see our effort come to fruition. When we visit them, we can actually see the impact that we made. It is just much more meaningful to us.
Yeah, I see Matt smiling. He's muted, but he's smiling. And I hope that's because he's seeing it's ringing that, oh, that's exactly the same thing with Frictionless. We started off thinking that that was the whole thing was for kind of independent, but based upon my own personal experience. And, you know, we're familiar with the big brands and we talked to all the big brands and they just didn't have it together. And we just decided, no, this is really the right thing for, you know, independent type market. And you're right, it's more work, but it's definitely more meaningful to them. And I think a lot more meaningful to us when you go that route. So, yeah.
And I think as a product development person, I think it's much more interesting to work with small business owners because they really keep us on our toes. You can never feel complacent because as soon as the product didn't work the way they envisioned it, or you didn't provide the best in class services and experience, they will make sure that they let you know that you're slacking off. So I think it really, as a product development person, it just keeps you on your toe. You always have to make sure you produce and develop the best product and that service the right type of customer.
Yeah, you can't take them for granted, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that definitely makes your product better in the long run, I think. So I guess what I was getting at was with the PMS API. So you've got to focus on those type of PMSs that are the ones that are mostly used by, you know, this side of the industry, the independent industry, lodging people. So you've got those things you've had to put in place, obviously, to make your product work, your service work. So once you've got the data and the APIs in place to, you know, go back, but also continue to monitor or whatever, what is it as, like, if I'm a lodging provider and I've given you my parameters of what I'm willing for take up to do with my pricing and things that I'm not willing to do or whatever, is it set it and forget it? Like, I leave it up to you all? And then if so, how is that done? Is everything through the product, or are you still having your revenue managers that oversee keeping an eye on things and tweaking things? Because somebody still has to, unless you're automatically changing prices real time, maybe you are through the API. So before the model was, okay, I'm configuring and creating rules. Is it now, okay, I'm giving that power over to take up and they are going to adjust those things based upon their AI roles with our parameters that we've given them. And that's it. I'm going to stand back and watch it happen. Is that pretty much how this goes?
Great question. We support actually a wide variety of users and preferences. So the one you just mentioned, the sort of set it and forget it, I like that phrase. We support that. And we've got a good number of customers that love that. Integrate, they tell us the parameters just like you suggested, right? Floors and ceilings, don't go above or below. Here's my general risk tolerance. Don't try these. We call them courageous rate opportunities. They're kind of like the new rate opportunities that are likely going to generate more revenue. They can say things like, oh, don't try those new, you know, courageous rate opportunities if my pace is below where it should be, right? Reserve those for where pace is performing well. They can do all of these things in a web application, or they could just work with us and our, you know, the revenue managers, and they'll make the changes if they don't feel like logging in anywhere, and they can walk away. And we send them, you know, regular reports, the revenue management team will keep an eye on what's going on, making sure that everything is working as expected, reach out and have conversations at the cadence that the innkeeper would like to have it at. You know, some love weekly, some, you know, hey, let me run my business. I don't need to talk to you. I trust everything's working. And we work the way they'd like to work. But we do have, on the other end of the spectrum, users that get in every day, and we support that as well. So we have a web application where they can see granular performance metrics on what's going on. Why did TakeUp choose this rate? If I want to change the rate, great, go ahead and change the rate, right? You still have control over your property. We're helping you run it, and they can interact with it as much as they'd like to.
Are they interacting with the TakeUp app? Or
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everything's through TakeUp. They're no longer dealing with that rules or setting anything through the PMS systems, right?
Exactly. Yep. Unless they wanted to manage things like negotiated rates or other rates that we would not touch, right? They've got other rates in their system that they want to have more control over. But yeah, for the most part, it's straight through us.
Wow. Okay. We didn't hit on pricing. So give them a feel for what the cost structure looks like.
Yeah, so we obviously, as a new startup, we had to try out different type of pricing approaches and structures. And so what we landed now is it's a SaaS platform, which means that you pay a flat monthly fee every month. And that's all you pay. It's all inclusive. And our price now ranges between $450 to $750 a month, depending on, you know, obviously the size of the property, the revenue, annual revenue that you generate. Because we wanted to make it accessible to customers, especially in the smaller market. We know that smaller properties probably can't afford a high price tag like the other hotel solution providers, how they're charging. So we want to make the price range really affordable. But at the same time, that could actually support all the advanced product development that we need to do and make it a sustainable business. And so this is the current pricing structure, is that's the range depending on the property size and the annual revenue.
Okay. So it doesn't really vary whether they ask for more hands-on interaction with your revenue managers or not then.
So currently, no, because we want to make sure that everyone has the best experience with us. That is extremely important to us. In the future, we might consider having additional white glove service, and maybe you have dedicated revenue manager. So we're still playing around with different business model there. But for now, we want to make sure everyone has the best experience so that everyone has the same access to the type of service. But eventually, we will probably come up with a version that is scaled back. It's a simpler version of TakeUp. And then there's the advanced version of TakeUp or additional services that you can add on to what you're paying for. And so We're not there yet, but eventually we will want to play around with different type of business models.
Makes sense. Wow, Matt, this is riveting. And we're probably getting towards the end of in terms of time-wise, but so you're going to have to reel me in like usual. I was thinking, though, maybe to finish up with kind of where things might be going in the future, if you even know that, because you're waiting for the AI to tell you where that is, right?
I think we've always been very clear about our vision. Our vision is to be the most powerful automated revenue optimization platform. We're starting with room rates. It doesn't mean we're going to stop there. There are many things that we can optimize. The great thing is AI is very flexible. It can optimize many different type of, you know, different solutions, different problems. It could be total revenue, it could be cost. We decided to focus on revenue. We're starting with room rate. It could be all the different ancillary services that you want to optimize. Total revenue, that's one way to think about it. And so that has always been our clear vision, is we want to eventually do that. The second thing we really wanted to do is change and transform the customer's experience with technology and their relationship with technology. We've learned the hard way that a lot of the hospitality tech that was built in the past, it didn't really put the customers at the center. And we really want to change that. And so our product has to put our customers at the center, at the heart. And then we build experience around it. So we want to be able to eventually change the relationship customers have with technology so they're not as fearful or terrified of adopting new technology. If the experience is good now, in the future, they are more willing to adopt new technology. Chris, I don't know if you have anything else.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that was great. Was there a thread there related to sort of where we think AI is headed, or was that just...
Oh my gosh, that's probably another podcast. I don't know. No, I was just kind of joking that in order to figure out where your product, where your service product, you know, SaaS product is going, that you're probably learning along the way through the AI or through just your own, you know, brilliant business minds. So yeah, that's what I was kind of joking about in terms of the AI thing. But I mean, if there's anything you want to add to that, where AI might be going for you that impacts you all or the industry, then that might be worthwhile.
I make a whole series out of it, and I won't here. Patty covered, you know, our approach, you know, our future vision quite beautifully. I guess one thing I'd share is what I'm excited about and seeing AI becoming closer to people, if that makes sense, right? So it's being integrated as a tool and not necessarily replacing, right? It's being fit to existing workflows and processes and fit to the way people's work plays out rather than trying to replace, or another way to put it is it's augmenting. And so that's how we see ourselves, is let's augment the business. Let's not replace, let's not remove control. Let's use these tools like calculators, right? They didn't replace mathematicians, they enhanced them. And that's what we're really excited about with some of the new AI capabilities coming out. I only see it moving in that direction.
That's cool. Patty, what else on that?
I was going to say, if you want to have a whole podcast around AI, you got the right person here. That's why Chris can't wait to jump in. He has been, I think, the pioneer in the space, and he teach all of us a lot about AI that completely changed my perspective about AI as well. So if you really want to have a separate conversation and podcast around this topic, you got the right person here. He can tell you everything about ChatGPT, what's coming, how is it going to transform every single industry. We can get into that as well.
That could be cool. What Chris said kind of resonated, and I thought back to something. Well, Patty, you and I met, and I met Tim as well with your group, just a couple of weeks ago at the Michigan Bed and Breakfast Association. And I was talking with Donna Kane on my way out when I left while things were still finishing up. Anyway, I can't remember how we got to it, but I had seen this quote in the last week leading up to the conference that is a Gina Wickman quote. And I think that's kind of what Chris is saying. And this is our perspective as well with the Frictionless Guest app. It systemized the predictable so you can humanize the exceptional. Gina Wickman's like a, I think it's like Genius Entrepreneur Network or something like that, right? But the point is that the stuff that, and Patty, I think when you were presenting and overseeing the discussion there at the MBBA conference, that's part of what came out is the have us humans think about those things that, you know, that only the human brain can take care of and do, and, you know, interacting with people and all of those things. Don't clutter my brain with all of the trying to figure out, you know, what happened a year ago and what the rate should be or what I'm forgetting, or it's just not possible. That doesn't dehumanize the experience, just like the calculator. It just makes it easier to do those things that are more rote, that software can do, so that you can think about the more important things, which are your guests, your clients, whoever that is. And I think that's kind of what we're both saying, is to, you know, transform the customer experience with, you know, technology that puts the customer at the center of it. And this just should help them so that they don't have to worry about revenue so much. They can worry about taking care of their guests, which is a lot more important.
That's exactly right. And then this is really our philosophy in everything, right? In product development, the way we work with customers, the best type of AI, I think, Chris, you mentioned this as well, the best type of AI is designed with human at the center. It's not to remove human. It's actually having human at the center and design the AI around it, just like how we develop our product, having the customers at the center to design the experience around it. I think that's how we should think about it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, our product is less complex, I'm sure, but with the same concept. When I hear innkeepers, owners, you know, lodging professionals say, well, but I'd rather talk to the guests about where to go to eat or whatever. I'm like, you can still have that conversation, but give them a tool so that you've already vetted, you've already curated all of this information. And now that conversation's a lot shorter, but you're still adding the human element of, okay, they've got a couple choices of where to go for dinner tonight, you know, based upon, because you've already chopped the choices down from Google having 100 choices to 10 recommendations that they've made, and they're down to 2 or 3, and they need to ask you, okay, how can I really decide on the best one for us? So it's the same kind of thing in my mind. Same approach, same minds.
Right. And Steve, I think that's why you have the name is so appropriate, frictionless, right? And this is all we're thinking about is how do you remove friction at every step of the way and then really focus on the most important decision that you have to make.
Yeah. And I look at it, I can only look at it from the guest's perspective, even though we try to learn as much as possible, like you all, about the property owner and manager perspective. But there's just way too much friction in the travel process. And so this is just one small slice of it, but there's just way too much friction out there. It's just so, it's not easy with all this disparate information to try to figure out just as a guest, you know, I'm going to Charleston tomorrow. And I'm trying to figure out the logistics of that sometimes and emails and all of this and that. It's like, it's just not always easy. So yeah, that was kind of the idea behind the name. So, all right, Matt, reel me in, get us out of here, finish us up.
I will. This has been awesome. Really appreciate Patty and Chris sharing your insights on this. And again, like I said, this is you know, the first time we've really done anything deep diving on AI. And before I take us out with our outro here, just want to throw out any parting shots, any last things to add here? And we'll start with Patty.
Well, this is a tough question. I think there's so much to think about. I think we really appreciate the opportunity to really share what we're passionate about. And what we're passionate about is solving really important problems for our customers. And that is all we're about, whether it's AI, not AI. To us, that's not the core of what we do. What we're here for is solving what we think is a really important problem for our customers. And that is what we will work hard at every day.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Patty. Chris, any parting shots?
Oh, let's see. There's a lot of hype around AI. I've been doing things related to AI for the last decade and I've seen it sort of grow up. And while there's lots of noise, I think it's an important tool. And we're trying to find ways to leverage it productively, again, augmenting our capabilities. So I guess just don't lose sight of, you know, what's possible here amongst all the noise. And sometimes, you know, that can make something seem like it doesn't have promise when it truly can.
All right, perfect. Well, this concludes this Frictionless Innkeeper podcast interview with Patty Sung, who's the founder and CEO at TakeUp, and Chris McPherson, who's also a founder and CTO at TakeUp, which is a dynamic price platform that lets AI and machine learning to optimize room rates in order to really maximize revenue. And our podcast is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest App, the digital concierge that helps your guests to live like locals. Learn how at frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. And Patty, Chris, and of course, Steve Short, thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks, Chris. Matt, good job. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.